Welcome on into Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come Wednesday, November 1st. Welcome to November. Hope you guys had a nice Halloween. Got some trick-or-treating in there. Got some, candy, some costumes. You listen to Monster Mash at least once. I think Monster Mash is one of my favorite seasonal songs. So we got an NBA slate. As I mentioned yesterday, we're going to be jumping into a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule for NBA breakdowns. And that means that Patreon is going to be getting, some more action over there. Obviously, right now, $10 a month, you get the NFL cheat sheets, you get the NFL lineup show. Now's the time to do it, by the way. If you do it on the first of the month, that's the best time to do it. It's going to auto-renew every month. So if you want to get in there, $10 a month, you get the Slack chat, you get the cheat sheets, you get the lineup show, the extra NFL show that we do on Friday nights. And you're also going to get Monday, Wednesday, Friday NBA cheat sheets. Now, the short slates, the Tuesdays and Thursdays, Spectre will probably still be doing a little bit of a write-up on there, but we are going to be doing some cheat sheets for NBA on the big slates, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday slates, where, you know, we go through our favorite cash game values, everything like that, cash game tournaments, that kind of thing. So we'll give you guys a player pool to work from on the NBA cheat sheet there. Like I said, this is the time to do it. November 1. And hey, I'm gonna do something here. Patrons, if you are already a patron, okay, or you're considering being a patron, bring a friend. You get somebody to sign on, you get a buddy to sign on for the month of November, I'll pay for your cheat sheet. How's that? So, patrons, you guys, get a friend to sign up, I'll pay for your cheat sheet. And hey, if you're considering becoming a patron, bring a friend, two of you, I'll pay for one of you. How's that? One of you guys, come on board, two for the price of one. So, a good deal, a little bit of a deal, trying to get people involved. You know, just to kind of, $10 a month is one of the cheaper DFS subscription things, you know, that you can have access to. And the idea is that it's for recreational players. It's people who aren't going to try and, create, an investment that, you don't need to pay $120 for Roto Grinders Premium and $85 for Fantasy Labs models and RotoVit, all these things. They're expensive. They're really, really expensive. Our model is very inexpensive, and that's the idea, right? So you don't feel overcommitted to it. Bring a friend. I'll pay for one of you guys to get in there. NBA cheat sheets Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If you're interested, they are coming in hot. So anyway, we got an NBA slate, 12 games, monster. We are in the thick of it, man. We are in the weeds of NBA. There's a lot going on. So let's go ahead and take a look at Vegas and figure out what it is telling us about tonight's slate. All right, first game up here, Suns at the Wiz, 228 total. It is jumped by 2.5 points, 107 implied for the Suns, 120 implied for the Wiz, which is a huge number. 120, to say that the Wiz are going to score 120 here, that's a big number. They are favored by 12. But, I think the 12.5 point favorites here, the Suns, people like them to cover. They do like them to cover, and that makes sense. It's just a big number to cover. As far as injuries go in this one, we are looking, I believe that we are looking at a pretty injury-free game. Phoenix, we know we're not going to see Eric Bledsoe, which has opened up massive minutes for Mike James and Tyler Ulis. They are coming off the back-to-back, just to be aware of that. Markieff Morris returning shortly. So Kelly Oubre is about to get his minutes taken away. That doesn't mean rush out and roster him. But that's it. That's it as far as minutes. Reasonable prices across the board for the Wizards. For the most part, we're going to talk about some of them in the player breakdown. Milwaukee at Charlotte, 204 total in this one. This total has jumped by 1.5 here. It opened at 203. people do like this game. And Charlotte only favored by 3.5 points. So going to be a tight one. Should be a close spread. These guys played last week, and I believe Milwaukee got the win, if I'm correct. Injuries, Charlotte, nothing to speak of that we don't already know. We know Jeremy Lamb starting for Nick Batum. And in Milwaukee, no serious injuries. You know, Greg Monroe has been out. But, they, you know, John Henson, I guess. But, you know, Jason Kidd does weird stuff with his centers, and it's very, very difficult to figure out. But this is a lower total. This is one of the lower totals on the night at that 204 total there. Indiana at Cleveland, 215 total in this one. It opened at 218. People are hammering the under. Interesting. Not really sure why necessarily. Perhaps, you know, just anticipating pace slowing down a little bit. But I do think this could be a competitive game, could be, you know, pretty exciting. Cleveland implied for 113 total now, and Indiana looking at 102, an 11-point spread in this one. On the Indiana side of the ball, we still have injuries to Miles Turner, which has opened up a lot of minutes for Domantas Sabonis and Thad Young. Really interesting. I mean, Domantas Sabonis has really taken this role and played extremely well. You know, it's really interesting to see the Pacers actually, like, look reasonably decent after getting rid of Paul George. I mean, Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis are proving to be, like, really useful pieces to them. And just so interesting that, you know, what does playing alongside Russ do to a player's value, right? And I just want to point one thing out. Miles Turner has been out longer for his concussion than Joe Flacco will have been for the most violent hit that we have seen in 2017 football. Let's go ahead and wrap our head around that. Miles Turner, yes, he got injured. Yes, it was bad. It hurt. Obviously, they're being careful with him because he's a franchise piece, but the dude got injured on the first night of the season, which was 2 weeks ago, and he's been sitting out longer than Joe Flacco. So that's the only serious injury. Although, no, excuse me, Cleveland, we're looking at Iman Shumpert as well, which has, you know, kind of reeled in the shooting guard minutes. J.R. Smith getting the start, and he's actually kind of interesting in this one. Atlanta at the 76ers, 210 total in this one, 101 for Atlanta, 109 for the 76ers at home. They're favored by about 8.5 points. Makes sense. J.J. Redick eyeing his return for Philadelphia. He's going to come back after that back injury kept him out for 2 days. What's that going to do? Well, you know, J.J. is probably going to get up some shots, probably limit the usage for not necessarily for Joel Embiid, but probably limit some of the usage for guys like maybe Bob Cove, not necessarily Simmons. But I would say, you know, probably Bob Cove, probably TJ McConnell takes fewer shots with JJ back on the floor. So interesting, you know, we've been really liking TJ McConnell, and I still like him. I just think that you have to be a little bit more careful with your interest in Philadelphia's backcourt there. On the Atlanta side, not really any injuries here. Dennis Schroeder got cleared from his ankle injury. Ersan Ilyasova still out, which means a lot of good minutes for John Collins, who I don't mind. His price is just up. His price is up, and that kind of bothers me. So I'm not a huge fan of his price right now. All right, moving on, we have the Sacramento Kings at the Celtics. This actually is a very low total, and with good reason. The Kings run a terribly slow pace, and they're not an effective offense. They're not going to challenge anybody to force them to score. They're just going to try to keep the game within reason. 198 total, one of the lowest on the slate tonight. Celtics favored by 13 at home. You know, real... And their total is moving towards them. Unlike the Suns game where it's moving away from them, their total is moving in favor of the Celtics. People really like the Celtics here in this spot. Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot to like on paper about the Celtics. You just have to be really careful with the pricing of some of these guys. And I think that's the thing is like the margin for error in this game, which could be really be a blowout. The Celtics are playing well. I mean, they really are. I mean, got to give Brad Stevens a lot of credit. You know, they just absolutely annihilated the Spurs the other night. And it really, that was crazy. It was a 2-point spread and they came out and won by 20. I mean, the Celtics are good and there is definitely a blowout chance here. They're playing really, really good defense. Their backcourt defense is phenomenal. They're top five, top 10. And I'll tell you what, that is a sea change from where they were last year with IT. Like, you were very comfortable targeting all sorts of shooting guards and point guards last year against them. It's just not the same. Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown are long and fast. And, you know, Brad Stevens deserves a lot of credit for the way he's coaching this team. Anyway, that's enough about the Celtics. They're much more likable than they were last year. Chicago at Miami. No total in this one. Reason being, waiting to see if Hassan Whiteside is going to play. Makes a lot of sense. He is targeting a return here. He is targeting a return. He went through shoot around. He seems to be probable. We'll see if there's any setbacks or anything like that, but it is likely that he will play. Goran Dragic also likely going to play. He was sick the other day. On the Chicago side, you had the return of Chris Dunn, and that was interesting. You know, it takes pretty much all of the value that you could see in the point guard and shooting guard usage for a lot of those guys like Jerry Grant and Justin Holiday away from them, because now there's a very clear timeshare situation where everybody's getting about 28 minutes and they're kind of, you know, muddy waters there on a bad team against a Miami team that could be full strength. Just doesn't really make me, I'm not chasing that game. I think you'll probably see a pretty low total for Chicago in that one. Houston versus the Knicks, 212 total in the Garden. And Houston is favored by 5.5 on the road here, and people really like them to cover. Their line is moving towards them. Even though the Knicks have been playing really, really well, I guess that 6 points just isn't enough for people to, against James Harden. They like him in this spot. I can't blame him necessarily. You know, I just think that the Knicks perhaps are a more balanced roster than we originally thought. And, you know, putting the ball in the hands of their best player in Kristaps Porzingis, you know, and taking away some of the tension that was on that team and surrounding him with pieces, you know, that, you know, Cantor has been phenomenal, just rebounding. And, you know, Tim Hardaway has been shooting and Jarrett Jack doesn't want to do anything except for distribute. There's some interesting spots here. You know, as far as injuries go, we have in New York, we just have the Ron Baker injury. We'll see what his story is. If he plays, that may actually hurt Jarrett Jack's value just because of the minutes. Jarrett Jack could see, instead of seeing, you know, 35 minutes like he's been seeing, he could see 28, which for a guy who doesn't really score or isn't really valuable, that's a problem. On the Houston side, nothing serious. Possibly get some Nene minutes back in there, which would make a lot of sense. They're probably going to want a bigger front court presence. So keep an eye. Nene is, you know, in and out. He's a in and out, in and out. And I think the games that he is out, you probably feel more comfortable with Clint Capella. That's about it, right? Minnesota versus New Orleans. This is a great game. This one is second highest total on the slate, tightest spread, much tighter spread than the Washington game. 224 total in this one, 111 to 113 implied total, moving towards the Pelicans. Why? Because bettors know how bad Karl Anthony Towns is on defense. He's terrible this year. Absolutely terrible. Completely and wholly, just like lackadaisical. Just a brutal, brutal right now. So definitely interesting to think about the bigs here. You know, Cousins and Davis. I'm going to talk about them in depth in this spot. And then the wings on Minnesota. I mean, New Orleans has, you know, Etuan Moore and Dante Cunningham trying to guard Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler. So there's a lot to like here as far from a fantasy perspective. I do think this game could be close. You know, Minnesota has just, because of their defense, they just play everything close. They just play everything is close for them. So I'm interested for sure. Injury-wise, nothing of consequence that we know of. You know, nothing of consequence here that we should be worried about. Orlando versus Memphis. No line in this one because, with good reason, we've got a questionable tag on both Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. Yikes. This is really where I'm watching for value. You know, we are going to see some massive value open up because if both of these guys are off, you're talking about pretty much all of the scoring and all of the usage for this team. And you have a team in Orlando that is very good right now, and they are going to be really interesting if Conley and Gasol are off, because the core of this defense is just going to, you know, disappear. So if we have, you know, no Mike Conley, no Marc Gasol, I think you have to love a guy like Tyreke Evans. He's the best pure scorer that they have. You have to probably look at Jarrell Martin to get extra minutes. And whoever is going to be starting at point guard, which my guess would be Andrew Harrison behind Mike Conley. So, you know, a lot of interesting things. We'll see how this comes together. I'm not really a Chandler Parsons guy. I know some people will say, you know, oh, Chandler Parsons, he's interesting. Yeah, he had one nice game. That's the end of that analysis. So keep your eye. This Memphis news is really important. So keep your eye on the Memphis news for sure. And if Marc Gasol doesn't play, you immediately have to, in Mike Conley, you immediately have to consider DJ Augustine and the rest of these. I mean, and Vooch. I mean, Vooch would be very much in play if Marc Gasol doesn't play. So very, very interesting spot. Portland at the Jazz, 193 total, Jazz favored by three, favored by four, excuse me. Total has dropped. Why? Portland's been good on defense. They've been a really effective defensive team. I do see this one being a much more defensively minded battle. I think both teams are perfectly fine, you know, slowing this one down. Therefore, for fantasy purposes, with priced up pieces and, you know, Gobert, CJ McCollum doesn't feel like a bounce back game for him. Rodney Hood has been in and out, kind of on and off. I think this is a stay away. It just doesn't feel like it's a, you know, it feels like a good real life basketball game, but a difficult, fake basketball game. Joe Johnson out for the Utah Jazz. There are going to be spots where we try to pick up some of the usage left over by Joe Johnson in the second minute. The problem is Joe Johnson isn't getting the minute. Remember last year down the stretch, we were looking at him for like 25, 30 minutes. Not really the case this year. So not as much usage from Johnson as we saw. No injuries of consequence on the Trailblazers. Nothing that we need to know, except for that Noah Vonleh is probably back, which makes, you know, this, we need to see how the front court minutes now are going to shake out. Where's Aminu going to go? How many minutes for Ed Davis? He's been playing well. Probably Caleb Swanigan takes to the bench. You know, all these kinds of things. You know, Vonleh was very effective in a limited role last year. So we're gonna see some shifts in Portland. I think it's a good way to stay away from this game and just kind of wait and see. Toronto at Denver, 213 total in this one. Denver only favored by 1.5. Toronto played really, really well in Portland the other night. Just defense, turned up the defense, really slowed down that Portland offense. And, Denver finally back after a long, long road trip on the East Coast. As strange as this sounds, I don't really like this game. I mean, you could go to Kyle Lowry, but I am not a fan of early season games in Denver for teams who are not used to playing at altitude. I think that the Nuggets have a lot of issues that are really, you know, it's very hard to understand what's valuable in this offense right now. I mean, Wilson Chandler has been completely invisible. Gary's been fine, but his price is now back up. It's not a lock and load. I think DeRozan is interesting. I think DeRozan is the one asset that you really trust just because everything goes through him. I mean, he's the leader in usage. The peripherals for Lowry are really what made his night in Portland the other night. And he went for double-digit rebounds again. He's not going to do that against Denver. Denver's a phenomenal rebounding team. Their rebounding rate is very, very good. Portland's rebounding rate was good, too. I don't really know exactly what happened there. But, yeah, I mean, Denver was the best rebounding team in 2016, and they are top 10 right now. And Portland, it doesn't make sense to me that they allowed Kyle Lowry to do so much rebounding. It could just be scheme, you know, without Ibaka in that game, they could have just asked Lowry to attack the glass. Which, speaking of injuries in Toronto, Ibaka and Valanciunas are day-to-day questionable. We'll see what they say about them today. They come back, really hurt the value of some of those guys in the front court. Pascal Siakam and Jakob Poeltl were both interesting. If they're both still out, I think you do look towards Jakob Poeltl and Pascal Siakam because they're just so inexpensive, and they can help you, and you just take some of that cheap minutes. On the Denver side, no serious injuries that we need to be concerned about. Last game of the night, a very interesting one, Dallas versus the Clippers, 106-97, 204 total in this one. Total dropping. It makes sense to me. And the Clippers have been very, very effective defensively against bad teams. The Warriors were really the first ones to get to them. They had one of the best point differentials in the league, and actually have one of the better marks as far as defensive efficiency goes until that meeting with the Warriors, which kind of, you know, pushed them out of the top 10 down to the 11 spot. So, you know, they are in a really good spot. Their offense is in a good spot, only favored by 9 at home. But Dallas's defense is just brutal, like absolutely the worst, and literally is 29th in defensive efficiency. So you have a massive advantage here for the Clippers. You know, I feel very comfortable saying they're going to cover this 9.5, and public money agrees. 75% of bets on Clippers to cover at home tonight. So that's, yeah, makes a lot of sense to me. So just a quick recap of what we went through. There's a lot there. No line in the Miami and Chicago game. No line in Orlando, Memphis. Waiting on key injuries for Whiteside, Gasol, and Conley. Those are the biggest injuries on the slate you got to pay attention to. Highest totals on the slate belong in Phoenix and Washington. In Washington, Phoenix on the road. They are 12-point dogs there. Second highest total, New Orleans, Minnesota. This one should be very competitive. It's only a 2-point spread, so this is a real juicy game. And then you have two other games above two. Well, you have 4 games above 210. So only 2 games above 220, 4 games above 210. The Cleveland-Indiana game, Denver-Toronto, New York, Houston, and the 76ers and the Hawks. Everything else, you know, a little bit slower. So some interesting spots for sure. We should see plenty of scoring on this slate as long as we pay attention to the right game. So let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, starting at the top here, we got some studs to talk about, your high price guys. Listen, I know I'm not the only one who knows. Okay, let me decide who I'm locking in from a point per dollar value, who's above 10K, who's above 11K. How many of these guys can I fit in here? Do I want to go with 2 studs tonight, 1 stud? You know, it really depends on value. And I think if we find out that Mike Conley, Marcus Gasol are both out, you have some value open up in Memphis, you have some interesting spots there, I think that you could certainly go to some of those, go to a two-stud approach. But let's sort through who you want to roster as far as, you know, the studs on this slate. Obviously, the point guard position for me, it all starts with John Wall versus Phoenix, 9,700. It's a smash spot for any of the Wizards. The problem with Wall is the price. And I mean, it's not the statistics. 35 minutes, 30% usage, 1.2 fantasy points per minute, right? Okay, so let's say, you know, he's getting 1.2 fantasy points per minute. He goes out there, he gets you 35 minutes. Great, 45 plus points in a really, you know, high-paced, low-defense affair. That sounds great. You worry about the blowout. I mean, a 13-point spread is a real indication of, I think, what they see here. Vegas, that's not a small number. You know, they blew out the Kings last weekend. Wall played 28 minutes in that game. And the reality is, you know, he has been wildly, wildly effective, but hasn't really had to be a massive, massive fantasy asset. I mean, let's be really, really clear about this. I mean, only 42 fantasy points per game in 2017, 2016. When do you see him go off? We know this. You're going to see him go off in his most competitive outings. I mean, versus Golden State, he had 45. They played a tough game against Detroit. He had 45 in that one. You know, the home opener against Philadelphia, he had 50. You know, these were more competitive games, and that's what you want. And the blowout situations are kind of the letdown spots. I mean, Sacramento, he only had 34. The question you got to ask yourself is Phoenix coming off of a back-to-back, are they going to be able to keep up here? That's what I worry about. That's what I really worry about. And as far as, you know, I mean, the Wizards, they're top 10 in defensive efficiency right now. They're a pretty solid defensive team. They've been playing really well. The thing that you really like is the Phoenix has just been absolutely terrible in the defensive end, and they're running one of the fastest paces in the NBA. They're second behind Brooklyn, 108 possessions a game. You know, so you have to, you can't ignore how good of a spot that John Wall is in, but I think you have to be careful with your exposure here, knowing that there is possibly the possibility of a blowout. I think Kyrie also, I think Kyrie will be like, what do you think about Kyrie? He's cheaper. Yes, I like Kyrie. I love the way he's been playing lately. I just don't know if this is actually a good spot. Sacramento plays a super duper slow pace, and George Hill is probably going to get a majority of minutes here. He is, you know, a notably good defender on the ball. There's a lot of ways that Boston can exploit this team. I don't think Kyrie has to do it all for them. It just doesn't. That game, I think, could be a disaster for Sacramento with the way that they play offense and the way that Boston is playing defense. I mean, Boston's literally number one in defensive efficiency in the NBA right now. You may find that hard to believe. They really are. Oklahoma City right behind them, who, I mean, that team is elite in defense. So very impressive stuff happening in the Boston backcourt. At shooting guard, Jimmy Harden, 11K versus the Knicks. I mean, is this the night that Jimmy goes for 60? Like, he hasn't done it this year. He's only averaging 47 fantasy points per game. That's the same number as John Wall, right? I mean, no, excuse me, Wall is 42. 47 just is not that much, but three of the last four have been over 50. He seems to be taking a little bit more active responsibility. I mean, they lost to Philadelphia in that last game, so you got to think that they're really going to want to make sure that in this road matchup, you know, with the Knicks, that they're going to really, you know, kind of show up here. They have to. I mean, they lost to the Grizzlies, they lost to the 76ers, they lost two games in a row. You know, I think that they need a win. They need a win in this situation just to kind of prove to themselves that they can, you know, still be one of the better teams in the Western Conference. I think mentally it's probably a good spot for them to win. He's seeing 36 minutes, 33% usage, 1.3 fantasy points per minute. The Knicks are terrible against primary ball handlers. They're terrible against the point guard. The question, you know, that I continue to come back to is who guards him? You know, is it Michael Beasley? Like, is it Tim Hardaway Jr.? Who guards James Harden? It's a mismatch no matter how you shake it out. It's not going to be Kristaps. I mean, it could be. You know, he could be on help side a lot, but it doesn't really matter. You know, the Knicks haven't been outstanding or really terrible. I think the idea that the Knicks are really terrible is kind of, it's just not the same team. You know, last year there was so much malaise on it, like just such apathy throughout the entire roster with Phil Jackson throwing everybody under the bus. I mean, they're just a more normal, the team, they have some momentum. They haven't been, you know, really terrible or outstanding, but there are two things that they are really, really good and really, really bad at. They are turning the ball over a lot, which is good. I think if we can create some more opportunities here for the Rockets, you know, pace-wise, they're going to be able to push the ball. But remember, their pace is not the same as it was last year. The other thing is they're a phenomenal rebounding team. Like, absolutely phenomenal rebounding team. One of the better rebound rates in the league. I believe they are top three in offensive rebounding. They're actually the best. Yeah, they're top three in the league. And then actually in the last three games, they have had a 57% rebound rate. So absolutely phenomenal numbers on the glass. They have been excellent on the offensive rebounding end, which are they going to choose to try and limit that so that they don't let D'Antoni's team get out and run? You know, that would be interesting to me. I think this is a good spot for Harden. It's just a question of price, really, and investment. You know, do you want to spend 11 on Harden? Do you want to spend 12 on Giannis? Do you want to spend 10 on Braun? Or, you know, of course, and then Boogie and the Brow are both 11-7. Giannis is the next guy at small forward. He had his lowest scoring game of the year last night, but a solid outing. He just played Charlotte last week. He went for 60 fantasy points. At this price, 60 fantasy points is not value. 63 fantasy points is value. So, I mean, I know he's a beast. This, though, however, fifth lowest total on the slate. It's one of the lowest paced games on the slate. He is the highest priced player on the slate. I'm going to come out and say this very straightforward. I know he's probably one of the best fantasy players right now. His usage rate is insane. His minutes are insane. But I do think he's a fade. Getting over 60 is really hard. It's not impossible, but it's very difficult. Teams are really, and it's interesting. Teams, I think, are saying, like, okay, force him to shoot the three. In the last three games, he has had to take seven threes. I know that doesn't seem like a lot, but this is not Eric Gordon. Like, this is not seven threes in a quarter. Like, he doesn't want to take the three, and they're just sitting back off of him. They're saying, shoot the ball. It's changing his game. I think the Hornets kind of know. I said this before. I think if there's any teams that know how to play him, it's teams that see him the most often. They're going to slow down the game. I really like Giannis in open court, fast-paced situations. The Hornets just don't lend themselves to that. You know, they're excellent rebounders. They don't turn the ball over. They don't foul that often. They're a very disciplined team. I think you can fade him. I do. I on a big slate with a Harden, with an Anthony Davis, with a LeBron, you can invest in another stud and know that you're going to get similar outcomes. Because if you only get 50 points, like, let's think of this, right? If you get 50, if at the end of the night, Giannis, Harden, LeBron, and Anthony Davis all have 50 points, who would have been the best investment? You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. If they all have 60 points, who would have been the best investment? That's the way I think of the studs. You have to be careful of that range of outcomes. So LeBron is interesting. I mean, he's got an Indianapolis team that's, you know, his total is 15 points higher. This game promises a lot more scoring. He's 2.3K cheaper. He's only 10.3K. LeBron has had two duds recently, but they've just lost. There's just no way that they come out and they lose to Indiana, an Eastern Conference team, after two really depressing games. They played really, really poorly in New Orleans and New York. They lost to Brooklyn. I mean, this team just can't afford to lose again. I just see LeBron say, like, there's just no way. We can't mentally afford this loss. 37 minutes per game, 27% usage rate, 1.3 fantasy points. Again, if he and Giannis both go for 50, who would you have rather paid for? You know what I mean? Like, it's not even close. It's LeBron. And 50 fantasy points is still really, really, really good outcome. It's just the question, you know, the ceiling is still there for LeBron. And in many games last year, he outscored Giannis. No, he doesn't have the same usage rate as Giannis. No, but he has the same minutes. We know he has the ability to rack up the peripherals. The question for me is he going to take 20 shots tonight? If he takes 20 shots, then I think LeBron, with 20 shots, you have to love. When they didn't have Derrick Rose out there, he was taking a lot of shots. For whatever reason, Derrick Rose affects his usage, which is a problem. I mean, that... Well, Derrick didn't play on Saturday, I guess. That's not fair. So, it's just a weird situation. To see the Cavs losing these games is just bizarre to me. But anyway, I think he's a good investment at 10-3. I like his price. And I like... I also really... Well, we're going to talk power forward here. The thing... I'm gonna say Anthony Davis, but I want you guys to just pause. Sorry, 10-4. LeBron is 10-4, by the way. I'm going to pause on Davis, and I'm going to go... Because I'm going to talk about him and Boogie at the same time. Okay, so pause right there on Anthony Davis. Instead, I'm going to talk about two 9K guys in the power forward here who I think qualify as studs on this slate. I really do. I mean, they're their team's highest usage players. They've been putting up some serious numbers. So Blake and Kristaps. I mean, Blake has a great matchup against a terrible Dallas defense. He's at home. He always goes under-owned because he plays in the last game of the night. There are a lot of players on this slate with 35 minutes and 27% usage. This is the same mark as, you know, LeBron, as, you know, he's very similar to, who else? He's very similar to, you know, like a John Wall is just about 30, or he's a little bit more on the usage rate. Point being, Eric Gordon. Wow. Holy shit. 28% usage. Sorry. Point being is that, you know, he is his team stud. The offense runs through him. It's a very good spot for Blake. I really, really do like this. You know, Dallas is a terrible rebounding team. They're second to last in defensive efficiency, allow 110 points for every 100 possessions. They're just not a good team. The issue that you have here is they have a much better front court than they do back court. Which seems strange because we saw Gobert just absolutely demolish them. But they don't allow as much scoring in the paint as they do to backcourt players. Like, so I love Pat Bev. I love Austin Rivers and Lou Williams in this situation. They have, you know, an average front court. The thing is Blake is going to handle the ball. He's going to play all over the floor. He's going to work from... You know, he's not going to work necessarily just in the paint. He's going to work from the elbow. We know he's going to work off the dribble, all that kind of stuff in transition. So you can really like Blake. I think the question is, I don't think he's a cash play. I think he's a great tournament play, knowing that people will probably just kind of overlook him in this situation. At 9,100, that's a pretty good price. The other guy, 9,700, Kristaps, KP at 9,700, 89 on DK. I mean, DK, his price is just phenomenal because, I mean, you tell me he's not going to double-double is just silly. He has been lights out in his last two games, playing extremely well with over 50 in the last three. He's got it. And the fact that his price hasn't jumped on DraftKings is just like you, I think you can find a way to get him in on DK, guys. This is a really nice matchup for him against Houston. I mean, he's leading all the power forwards on the slate with 31% usage, 34 minutes per game, 1.3 fantasy points per minute. I mean, the only guy he's Anthony Davis level production at 2K cheaper, almost. So low implied total, only 104. You know, you compare that to Davis, you compare that to, some of the other guys on the slate. That's a pretty low number, but this game with Houston could be competitive if he stays involved. Like, he's the key. Anytime that New York is playing somebody, if Porzingis goes, if he goes off, then it's going to be a good game, right? That's it. And it's going to be competitive. If they find a way to shut him down, then it's not going to be competitive. And I don't think they can. I mean, honestly, we've seen Embiid in 28 minutes in both games with over 40 fantasy points in both games that he faced them. They just lost to Philadelphia team that has a lot of size. I think Kristaps is in a perfectly good position. I don't I'm not bothered by the matchup with Capella. Like, I know Capella is a good player, but I'm not bothered by the matchup with Capella. You don't think he's an elite player like that is going to shut down. And this isn't Gobert, right? This isn't Gobert as far as defensive real plus minus. So I don't mind this matchup here. I think it's a really good spot for KP. I think you're getting a lot of profit potential on DK. Like 8,900 is just too cheap for a guy who has a 50-point ceiling. I mean, and can shoot the three. Come on, man. And against Houston in what could be a competitive, like a very competitive game. So let's talk about this. You know, the Boogie versus Cousins, you know, Cousins versus Davis, Boogie versus the Brow here. I want one. I definitely want one. I don't know who it is. I always lean towards AD just from a roster construction standpoint because I like center. I like the uniqueness of center. I like the ability to play. I like the ability to play a unique center at that position because I think there's a lot of profit potential in the center position because you have the ability to flex up the peripherals for a lot of guys, right? When you have the situation where you have a guy who's getting consistent minutes, consistent usage, and then all of a sudden you have him in a smash spot for some peripherals against a poor rebounding team or a team that allows too much scoring in the paint or things like that, you have these thin margins for center where you can really, really have a lot of profit potential, which is why I really like to make sure I leverage my center position and get the most out of it every single night. AD is in a really, really good spot. I mean, the production has been amazing. The usage has been great. Kat and Taj Gibson, this is not an effective front court. Kat is one of the worst defenders in the league at the center position. Will Kat be guarding AD? Will Kat be guarding Boogie? I'm not completely sure. My thought is that he's going to be on Boogie, which if that's the case, then you want to go to Boogie. No doubt about it. And in last year, in two games when Davis played Minnesota in three different games before Boogie was there, he scored 40 points in every game against them. He can demolish them, okay? He can absolutely demolish them. But so can Boogie. I mean, we know what Boogie is capable of, and it's really interesting. They're both averaging 28 points. They're both averaging 12 rebounds. They're both averaging two blocks and a steal, okay? They've had their moments when both of them have popped in different categories, just I think schematically they, you know, kind of trade places as far as, you know, who gets to do what and who gets to do the scoring. But... you know, and they're both getting 35, 36 minutes a game. And Davis is getting 33, but I think that has to do with the game that he left with the knee. His averages, you know, dropped down. They're both exceeding value. I mean, it just, you can play both of these guys if you want. I mean, they've both gone for above 5X. Like, they've been phenomenal because they're it. And they're massive, massive, massive usage guys, and they've been absolutely excellent. You know, you saw in that game against Orlando, Boogie only, you know, went for 42. And every game before that, above 60, you could try to figure out how to get them both in there. And I have no problem with that, to be completely honest with you. It's just there are other guys on this slate who, you know, if you have the situation where AD goes for 60 and Boogie goes for 40, there are other centers on this slate who could easily go for 40. And that would bother me. That would bother me if I'm paying for, but I like them both. I can't comfortably tell you who I prefer. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I can't comfortably tell you who you prefer, who I prefer. And part of that is because I don't know who's going to get Kat. My thought is that AD will get Kat. And then the reason that I like that or the reason that I think that way is because we've seen Boogie playing on the perimeter and we've seen Boogie actually playing, out of the dribble more. And we've seen him, you know, doing more of his scoring, more of his work outside. And he's actually been very good at getting assists, you know, which is really, really interesting. So, I think that, hold on one second. I'm going to take a pause real quick, and I'm gonna do some quick research. Come right back. Hope you enjoyed that research interlude there. I think it's AD. And what I just looked up was who is doing more scoring inside the paint, who is doing more close range scoring, and it's Davis. DeMarcus has been, you know, using the three-pointer a little bit more to his advantage. Davis just really isn't attempting that. Davis has got 55% of a majority of his points in the paint, which is really nice. And 58% of those are assisted field goals, which a lot of them are coming from Boogie. So I think it's AD for me. If I want to attack the rim against Cat, that's where I'm going. And you know, I mean, the thing about Boogie is right now, if the three isn't going, the three is amazing, but if the three isn't going, then, you know, where does that leave you as far as his full scoring output? But it has been. I mean, he's shooting consistently. His percentages are there for the three. All right, I'm going to move on. There was a lot of talk about studs. Talk about some grout guys. I know it's been a little bit of a longer podcast. But 12 games, a lot of players. Point guard Jrue Holiday versus Minnesota. This is a massive, this is kind of a really interesting spot. I know I talk about Holiday a lot, but he's got some interesting things. Like, he has a very clear floor. You know, he has an excellent team total in this situation. He has very, very consistent minutes, flirting with 40 minutes on the regular. His salary on DraftKings is a little bit even better at 7,100, 7,400 on FanDuel. The nice thing that I like about Holiday is this. You're investing in a guy who is going to get you 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal a game. He's going to get 38 minutes a game. The question is how much scoring? He did not take a lot of shots in that Orlando game. He did not take a lot of shots in that Orlando game, but they lost. You look at the box score, and there's a very, very clear difference in how Holiday performed in those wins that they had over, you know, over the Cavs, for example, versus his performance in his performance in the most recent game against Orlando. And Orlando's very effective against the backcourt. They have very, very good backcourt defense. They're not great against the point guard individually, but they have effective backcourt defenders, which is something I overlooked. Anyway, but the peripherals are identical. The scoring can go up against Minnesota. They allow some of the most points to the point guard position. They're one of the worst in DVP. So I think Holiday is in an interesting spot here in what should be one of the highest scoring games of the night. I like Schroeder at Philadelphia. You know, 8,100 on FanDuel, not my favorite price, I'm not going to lie. But we know the whole offense goes through him, 32% usage rate. He's a phenomenal, only 7K on DraftKings. I think that's probably where you get a lot more profit potential from him in this situation. That's $1,000 difference for a guy who's back to being healthy, playing in Philadelphia against the backcourt defense. That is not that good. They're not that good. That's kind of how you want to attack them. They're allowing 26 and 10 to the point guard. Those 10 assists are some of the higher numbers. So even if he only gets you 20 and 9, you have a really solid 30-some-odd point floor there. I like that. On DraftKings, I think you can go for it. On FanDuel, I'm probably going to stay away. 8,100 is, you know, you're forcing me into 40 points, and I just can't project. I can't project him for 40 points every time. You know, as Schroeder's got like a 45 point ceiling. Like, I love him when he's in the 7Ks. That's when I want Schroeder. Oladipo, shooting guard. I love Victor Oladipo, 7,900. The thing that I don't love is he has been their offense. The thing that I don't love is his price. He's 7,900 on FanDuel. That's a huge price tag. 7,800 on DraftKings. He's been really, really good. Over 30 minutes, over 35 minutes in a lot of his games. Nearly 40 fantasy points, 27% usage rate. This is one of the best matchups on the board. Cleveland is absolutely terrible against the shooting guard. There's a reason that Timmy Hardaway went off against them. They don't defend the shooting guard position very well. I think Oladipo is in a really good spot here. This game is going to be competitive if he can go and get them a ton of points. He's gone north of 40, getting nearly 50 twice, I mean, he's going to play plenty of minutes. He's actually been limited in his minutes. When they have actually been blowing teams out, he's only getting 28 some odd minutes. But I think against the Cavs in this situation, you could really see him pop for over 35 minutes. 20 shots in those games. The problem that I have is that with Sabonis coming on so strong in the last two games, Oladipo's usage has gone down. That weirds me out. Okay, that weirds me out. That is kind of where I'm at as far as, like, why is this happening? Sabonis came on. Let me get an exact comparison here, the last two. In his last two games, when he's really popped, he had 15% usage and a 20% usage rate. He only put up 15 shots in those. However, Oladipo in those two games had, well, okay, all right, fair enough. Okay, so maybe I was wrong. Maybe his usage rate isn't affected. He had 36% usage rate against San Antonio, 23% usage rate against Sacramento. Very paced down games where he wasn't able to score there too much. So actually, this could be a really good spot for Oladipo. A little bit more pace, and they're Cleveland's dead last in efficiency differential to the shooting guard. Bradley Beal is really hard to ignore at 7,200. He's a phenomenal option. Cash game for sure. You just have to fit him in. That's hard. I think he's probably the easiest way to get exposure to the Wizards. And you're saying over 35 points against the Suns. Yes. He actually, and I've talked about this, I'll talk about this later when I was talking about Otto Porter, but he actually is one of the players that benefits the most from pace differential, from positive pace differential. And they have a plus three positive pace differential tonight. So I really like Beal in this situation. The concern that you have with any one of these Wizards is exactly as we mentioned earlier. It's blowout. You know, if he gets 32 minutes, he's going to score you. He's going to hit value. He's going to hit value, like, no doubt about it. But if he only gets you 28 minutes or only gets you 26 minutes, like he did in that Sacramento game, he's, 26, 28 fantasy points. He's a fantasy point per minute guy. He absolutely is. And in good scoring situations, like in the Laker game, he went bananas. So I like this spot for Beal, no doubt about it. I think you definitely include him. Then there's these guys in the $6,300, $6,400 price point. I really like them. I think you can get one of them in your lineup, which is this shooting guard group is kind of an argument for fading Harden and maybe going to spending up at small forward and power forward. Wiggins versus New Orleans. He has a great matchup on the wing. I mean, the problem is how many shots are you going to shoot? He shoots a ton and then he shoots not that much. I mean, sometimes he shoots way too much. He gets hot and then he cools off. 23% usage rate. New Orleans, though, 28th in DVP to the shooting guard. He's going to get Etuan Moore and guard Etuan Moore. They're both very possible. The question is, Wiggins doesn't do much else. The peripherals aren't there to push his ceiling. So it's like, are you going to get any profit potential off of him? He has to score 20 plus points. Like, it's like the Devin Booker thing. Like, he has to score in order to be valuable. So that's the question that you have. Eric Gordon, great matchup with the Wings in New York. You gotta love his usage rate, 27%, 28% usage rate, almost 38 minutes per game. His attempts have been rock solid, like very, very consistent, almost 8 threes per game. He's taking 20 shots per game. He went for 40 twice last week because, listen, if he makes some of those threes, and he makes some of those, Gordon is in a smash spot here. You really, really like this matchup. He's been so effective off the wing with Harden. And the minutes, the usage, it's all right there. I mean, to get a 28% usage rate at only $6,400 is insane. I also don't mind Deion Waiters. I mean, he's got the plus matchup with the Bulls. I think he's a GPP only option. He's the highest usage player on his team when he gets hot. He had a 38% usage rate on Monday versus Andrew Wiggins on the wing there. He got hot, and Waiters just started going, chucking. And when he goes, he goes. I mean, he has a 50-point ceiling. We know that because, it's only going to happen 10 times this year, but you want to get it right. I think he's an interesting GPP. I'm not touching him in cash. At small forward is thin, guys. It's very thin. I think you have a pretty limited player pool at small forward. You're kind of doing the spend up, spend down thing, or you're really zeroing in on a couple guys. One, Jimmy at New Orleans. I mean, they're very bad against the wing. I really like Jimmy in this spot. I think that you could definitely go to them. They're 28th against in DVP against small forwards. So this could be the game that Jimmy comes off, you know, and in competitive games, that's when they really need him to go. So he did it in that OKC game. That's when, you know, there's a lot to like there with Jimmy. You know, and I mean, good gracious, $7,100 on DraftKings. Like, they're begging you to play Jimmy Butler. I think you play him on DraftKings for sure. I also don't mind Danilo Gallinari. He's been really hard to understand. You know, like, he's just not been very effective in his role. Like, he's only twice gone above 30 points, but he's gone above 30 minutes and almost 34 minutes every single time. He's taking plenty of shots. The question is how many of those shots is he making? I mean, he shot about 50%. He's taking the threes. He just, you know, he hasn't done a ton in the peripheral category against a bad rebounding team. However, you could see him play a little bit better here. And if he's going to take 15 shots, which it certainly seems like he is, he hasn't taken, you know, his last three games, 13, 16, 15. If he's going to take 15 attempts against Dallas, it's a bad team. He's going to get 38 minutes. You know, there really is an argument to play him. He's $6,100. People are not going to play him, but is 30 points going to happen? That's what you got to be worried about. I mean, he's only averaging 25 and you're overpaying already for what his average is. I don't mind Jason Tatum. I just think you're paying too much for Jason Tatum to possibly only get you, you know, that's not fair. 14% usage rate against Sacramento. The weird thing is they're like number one in the league against small forwards, which I don't understand really. But he's not, you know, he's not a small forward. He's a small forward on DK. He's a power forward. It's just, and he'll play the minutes. Like, he's going to play the minutes. I just don't really know how to project him in this situation. That's maybe, and Torian Prince. I like Torian Prince, against Philadelphia. He's been really effective lately. The thing that I don't like about him is, I mean, and this is kind of how I've been talking about all of these guys. I don't like his matchup. I don't like his matchup with Bob Cuff. I mean, that's not a good matchup. And let's not get it twisted. Like, that's one of the tougher matchups on the board. And that, by the way, that's also an argument for Gallo. He has one of the tougher matchups on the board against Harrison Barnes. Like, if there's anything that team has, you know, it's the one spot against Harrison Barnes that he's really good. And that's why they're only two in DVP. So you could immediately scratch Gallo and Torian Prince off your list if you are if you like the defense of Harrison Barnes and Bob Cubs. So, like I said, small forward is thin. It's hard. It's Jimmy and maybe Bron and then some cheap guys. I got some cheap guys for you. A power forward, it's also kind of thin. I don't mind Otto Porter in this range, but I think that the problem is how many minutes. I mean, he is 1.2 fantasy points per minute. This is one of the worst teams in the NFL. NBA. He leads all starters in Washington in points off of turnovers. He's at home. He's just really expensive, and you need to know that he's going to score here. If he doesn't have to score because Bradley Beal is going off, then you don't have a lot of profit potential on a $7,300 price tag. That's really not that great. You know, and he only plays 30 minutes. That's not great. So this is a tough spot to pay for Otto Porter. If I'm going to pay for one of these guys, it's probably Bradley Beal. I just think that that's a better investment of $7,200, knowing how much scoring he's doing. On FanDuel, power forward, like I mentioned, Jason Tatum, I think he's in an interesting spot. Thaddeus Young is also interesting to me at 5,800 versus Cleveland. The problem with Thaddeus Young is that his price has caught up with his production. I mean, he's averaging 26 fantasy points per game, and now they have him priced properly. And that's annoying. He's better priced on DraftKings. I think you could play him there for sure. And that's about it. That's about it. I think you got some value guys that are interesting, but that's about it for me at power forward for the moment. You keep your eye on the Memphis game. Jarrell Martin, you know, that's a value option. At center, I like Joel Embiid, obviously, in this range. There's a lot of guys in this range at center that I really like. I'm going to give you four. And I think, you know, the thing that's interesting about center is it's you have a nice this is where you can make money on FanDuel. The blocks matter. There's a lot of profit potential in researching your centers. Milwaukee can't rebound. Atlanta does not rebound. No one can guard him on this team. Mike Muscala is going to be the starter. He's one of the best cash game plays on the board. He has consistently performed night in, night out. He's averaging 38 fantasy points. He's $8,200. He has gone... He has not scored less than 32 fantasy points this year. So 4X value at least, you know, every single time. And a very, very easy for him to go above 40 in this matchup with Atlanta. You know, they're not a great rebounding team. They're going to be guarding him with John Collins and Mike Muscala. And Dwayne Dedmon. And Dwayne Dedmon is good. But he hasn't been, you know, unbelievable. They're pretty average. They're a pretty average team right now as far as defense goes. It's a good cash game investment. I love Al Horford. Al Horford at 7,000 is just one of the best matchups on the board. His team allows so much scoring to the center. His price is down. He doesn't have to have massive minutes to be effective. I think this is a phenomenal spot for Al Horford. He's priced exactly where you want him to be. We've seen him go over 40 and two times this year. And Sacramento has been terrible on the interior, allowing tons of scoring in the backcourt. So Horford doing a ton of damage on the inside. I think that he is going to be in a good spot here against Sacramento to do some early damage against this team. I do also love DeAndre Jordan against Dallas. I mean, we saw how this team cannot handle the center position. Rudy Gobert dominated them. They're not athletic enough on the front. I mean, it's Dirk and Nerlens, and they're just not quite there. Last year against this team, he never had fewer than 32 fantasy points, and then twice he went over 40. So DeAndre, very much in play. And let me tell you something about DeAndre. Nobody plays this guy. 7,500, he's in this dead pricing range where everybody either wants to pay up or pay down. Nobody plays DeAndre. So I love DeAndre Jordan in this spot. And listen, he's right on 32 fantasy points per game, you know, 33 minutes. He's at home. He's dominated this team before. They're a bad rebounding team. It's all there. I mean, it's all there. He could be one of the better plays on the board as far as tournaments are concerned. Dwight, too, by the way. Also, sorry, Dwight versus Milwaukee. That is the worst rebounding team in the NBA. 45% rebound rate. He had 22 rebounds last time against them. 45 fantasy points. And guess what? He missed 9 free throws in that game. he's an animal. Like, he's cheaper than DeAndre. And he has a higher usage rate than DeAndre. I think there's a lot to like there. He's at home. The thing that you don't like is that they have... you know, Cody Zeller back. And so his minutes have been a lot lower. He has dropped down to, I think, 28 minutes. When he was the only center, he was getting about 30 minutes. So he's been at like 29. He just went for 29 minutes less. And he's been really like sort of ineffective in his scoring, struggled in a massive way against Memphis, but his price dropped and that's really nice. And there's certainly 45 point upside here for Dwight in this one to just rake rebounds. Okay, point guard. Let's go into the bargain basement, 5'5" and below. I'm going to start with Pat Bev. Great matchup against the Dallas backcourt. Terrible defense there on the backcourt in Dallas. Pat Bev, very cheap, from 5,700. He's very consistent in his minutes. You're not asking him to do a ton. I think he's projectable. That's why I like him as a cash game type play. I don't mind Derrick Rose at 5,000. He's just cheap. And in a high scoring game against Indiana, I think that that's interesting. You know, Indiana is 23rd in DVP to the point guard. So not exactly a phenomenal matchup, but Derrick Rose has been consistently getting 20 fantasy points per game. Could he get you 25? Yeah, that's one good play. It's one steal. It's one steal there. That's all you need. He's basically 20 points a game consistently, and all you need him to do is go for 25. I think he's an interesting cash game option. Same with TJ McConnell. I mean, you know, he has a lot more profit potential in the way he has been playing at 5K. It's interesting. I don't know what he's going to do with JJ Redick back. That kind of actually makes me, scratch my head a little bit, but I still think he's going to, the nice thing about him is the peripherals are consistent. It's the assists, it's the rebounds, it's the steals. You know, he does not have to be a primary scorer. So let me look this up real quick. Hold on. Let me see. When we have JJ on the court, we are going to see... we don't really see much difference in performance for TJ. His usage rate probably will go down, but his performance... hasn't really been effective by it. Not a big deal. Let me see his plus minus here. Yeah, I mean, he's actually been perfectly fine in his plus minus when JJ has been on the court. So it's not a big deal. They played 7 games together. It's really not a thing because they're playing different positions. So that's good to know. That's good to know. Maybe fewer points, but he's not really a point scorer. Jared Jack. There's a couple guys here, actually. I mean, Jared Jack is still cheap. He's getting Houston. If Ron Baker comes back, then those minutes aren't going to be there. But, another guy who doesn't have to do a ton of scoring. The peripherals are consistent. The minutes are consistent. The price is really, really affordable. So Jared Jack continues to be a cheap option. I don't mind Mike James and Tyler Ulis. It's just weird. I don't know who's... Like, they've been really inconsistent. James went off last night, but coming off the back-to-back, is he going to be able to do that again against, a guy like John Wall in this situation? Is Tyler Ulis going to go off against John Wall? Probably not, but Mike James has been very effective in what he's been able to do. At 4,500, that's pretty nice. So there's a lot of really good spots at point guard. You can spend down a point guard for sure tonight. On shooting guard, there's some really nice ones as well. I really like Austin Rivers and Lou Williams. No problem with either of them. Rivers has been getting the most minutes. This is a great matchup on the Dallas Wings. They've been terrible on the wings. He has actually been very effective. Rivers has been getting the minutes, over 30 minutes in a bunch of his games. We saw him pop for over 30 fantasy points. He has a floor of 20 fantasy points. We saw him pop, though, in that Detroit game. It was a plus matchup on the wing. We could see him do well again here. The thing is, you could easily then go, you could very easily go down off of him and go down to a guy like Lou. And, Lou at 4,600, if you need the $3 savings, is almost the same thing. He's just instead of a 20-point floor, he's a 15-point floor. The question is minutes, right? And if he gets the minutes, he won't do anything in the peripherals department necessarily. But if he gets the minutes, then, he's in a good spot. It's a good matchup for both of them. I have no problem with either one of those guys. I don't mind Chris Dunn, I guess, but it's kind of risky. I don't think you have to go there. Bogdanovich, by the way, interesting, 4,500. He is the Sacramento Bogdanovich, not the Boyan Bogdanovich. He's been getting about 30 minutes on the wing for Sacramento. Is this the best matchup for him? Not really. In Boston, I don't think it is. They've been very good on the wings. Like I said, their backcourt defense is extremely good. So not my favorite matchup, but keep your eye on him for sure. No doubt about it. And I really like Etuan Moore. Etuan Moore at 4,300, I think is in a really, really, really good spot. he is going to be getting 30 minutes against Andrew Wiggins. We've seen him pop the last two games, Orlando and Cleveland. He had 27 fantasy points. He is going to take attempts. He's going to shoot the three. Wiggins is terrible on defense. We saw Waiters go off against him. So I think I really want to get one of these Clippers guys and Etuan Moore in my lineup. Small forward, I like Josh Richardson. I think he's in a really good spot against the Bulls. He, you know, won't have his minutes necessarily affected by Hassan Whiteside. The question is he going to do everything like he, you know, kind of usually does? I also don't mind Bojan Bogdanović, the Indiana Bogdanović, the veteran, 4,100. He's really interesting. But don't sleep on a guy like Jonathan Simmons, who's been absolutely awesome for Orlando recently. He has kind of, I think, earned his way over Terrence Ross, 30 minutes a game in the last two, scoring 20 points in both of those against New Orleans and Charlotte. Now, the matchup with Memphis is tougher, but if you have no Mike Conley and you have no Marc Gasol, I think this defense is you know, certainly exploitable. But I mean, listen, Jonathan Simmons at small forward went for 31 fantasy points against New Orleans. What the fuck is Jimmy Butler going to do? Right? Come on, let's wrap our head around this. At power forward, I talked a little bit about Jason Tatum. I talked a little bit about, you know, how I feel about Thad Young. They're a little bit pricey. I mean, I feel like you're begging them for 30 and you're like, come on, get me 30. And I think if I had to pick who is more likely to get 30, it's probably Tatum, only because he probably won't lose the minutes in a blowout. And he can get to the rim and score against a bad front court. And that is the reason that I want him. I think Thad Young is interesting in this game against. But if we know Oladipo and we know we have some other options, then Thad Young may not be in the best situation. John Collins, he's interesting at 5,300. If I know he was 24 minutes, just is not much. You know, you have to get one fantasy point per minute out of him at 5,300. That's not really, really that nice. And then you keep your eye on the Memphis situation, because if we have no Marc Gasol, you're going to really want to look at some of these Memphis guys like Jarrell Martin and stuff like that. They're very interesting. So keep your eye on that situation. It's hard. There's not a lot that you want to go to. I think you want to spend down at point guard. There's a lot more investable, projectable outcomes at cheap point guard than there are at any other position tonight. I think that's and I always say you can spend down on point guard, and the reason is that because they touch the ball so often, it creates fantasy opportunities. Touching the ball is the first step in making a fantasy opportunity. In every single sport, and they touch the ball the most of any player on the court. At center, Aaron Baines and Domantas Sabonis. I think those are your two spend down guys. Aaron Baines and Domantas Sabonis are both really, really interesting. Sabonis is 6K after his massive night last night. He is 6K on the nose. He's going to get Cleveland. He's going to get plenty of minutes. You know, are we going to see him go for 34 again against Cleveland? Possibly. But if he gets his 32 minutes like he did against San Antonio, I mean, that is huge. But he only got 22 minutes last night. But they blew that team out. They blew out Sacramento. So 30-plus minutes for Sabonis in this situation. Very interesting to me, no doubt about it. And then where is he? Aaron Baines. A terrible front court defense in Sacramento. So Aaron Baines is definitely on my radar. All right, this has been a long show for sure. I'm getting back into the rhythm of NBA, guys. Sorry about that. It's going to take me a while to get through these things. But let's go ahead over to lineup lock and figure out how we put all of this together. So a couple core things of what I said. a couple of things that I'm really, really interested in doing on tonight's slate. Okay, so one is I want one of these shooting guards from the Clippers, Austin Rivers. I want Anthony Davis. I need exposure to that Minnesota-New Orleans game. I feel comfortable spending down at point guard. So I'm going to get Rivers, I'm going to get Davis, and then I'm going to go down to the cheap point guard, bargain bin point guards here. And I am going to, you know, this will probably change, but I am going to say that I'm probably not going to spend above Pat Bev at point guard. 5,700 and below is kind of my range here. So let's just call it, let's go ahead and let's call it TJ McConnell against Atlanta, you know, poor defense there. And then let's call it a, Mike James is so tempting at 40. Let's put Mike James in there for the moment, but I could obviously also go up to Jarrett Jack. I feel very comfortable with Jarrett Jack at 5,200. His minutes have been good. He's, you know, the minutes have been excellent, and just the, you know, the do it everything type guy is nice. You don't rely on the scoring like Mike James very much relying on the scoring, but his ceiling is so much higher because of his scoring ability. So I really do also, I'm going to say that I want one of these 7K guys. I definitely want either DeAndre, a Dwight, or an Al Horford. I really like all these guys. I think they all have possible 40-point outcomes here. There's profit potential there. But I'm going to say Al, just because I know how good his matchup is. You know, and like in a good matchup against Milwaukee last week, he crushed. You know, and even in 29 minutes, I like this spot for Al. I think it's a good price. It's very flexible. So now I have two small forward spots, a shooting guard, and a power forward. So there's a couple things that I can do at $6,700 remaining. I can kind of spend at $6,700 more or less at every one of these positions and go balanced. And I think in that case, it would probably look something like I would go with Jimmy. I would go with Brad Beal. I would then spend in the $5,800 range. Maybe I'd go down to Jonathan Simmons. I think he's interesting at 5K. And then I have $6,700 left at power forward. That's not exactly my favorite price point. Yeah. See, this is the hard part. And so if you go to, you know, if you go Brad Beal and Jimmy Butler here, you have $5,800 per player. You can kind of mess with it a little bit, you know, and you could go with, you know, one of the more expensive stud types. You know, you can't fit in Blake or anything like that. But you could go up to, there aren't really any stud types. I mean, you could go to a Bob Cove or something like that. It's just kind of hard. So the Stars and Scrubs is almost a little bit easier. So if I go off of Jimmy or if I go off of Bradley Beal and I spend down at shooting guard, which is frustrating because now you're like, okay, wait, do I have any exposure to this Washington offense? You know, maybe I go, oh, by the way, sorry, Tyreek Evans would be in it. Did I say Tyreek Evans earlier? Hopefully I did. Tyreek Evans, so let's say I put Tyreek Evans in at shooting guard. You know, then maybe I go to a guy at power forward, try to get some exposure to Washington like Otto Porter, and then I have $6,200 left for Danilo Gallinari. Ha! You know, there's a lot of different ways that I can go here. And I'm going to screw with it. And guys, as value comes out, hopefully we'll, you know, if that Memphis Orlando game gets interesting, we're going to have to pay attention to it. So you can definitely go Stars and Scrubs. There is lineups here where I can fit in two studs. You can fit in Anthony Davis and LeBron. You can fit in Anthony Davis and Harden, and I've definitely done it. So it's very possible, especially if you spend down at center. But you can also fit in a lot of these 7K guys, which is an interesting way to do things. So that is it for me. Sorry for the long show, but we're going to come back tomorrow with the NFL Week 8 player breakdown. And hey, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Get in there if you want to get in there and bring a friend.